Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Ring the bell. Golden Oak Lending has lowered rates. Lower your mortgage payment, get cash out, or pay off credit cards. Visit goldenoaklending.com today.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
NMLS 114937.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That's right. Damn, if it ain't Wednesday already, you're in the loop.
Yeah, man.
Right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Attitude, La Figgy Fig, and you. In the various mediums that you can get involved with the program, the Jim Allen, the Texas Hammer text line, 713-572-4610, and also on the Mo Karam Injury Lawyer live streams, both on YouTube, Sports Rail 610, and on Twitch, 610 Houston. Let's get into it, man. I was very much, you could inject it into my veins. That's mm-hmm. the place that I was. I was high on watching postseason basketball last night. And the team that we are rooting for, that we are watching intently, wasn't even playing because it was. But we do have a matchup now for the first round of the playoffs for the Rockets. It'll be the Golden State Warriors as the Warriors defeated the Memphis Grizzlies. I mean, not easily, mind you. Like, we were all at a place like yesterday where we were like,
I was like, it's over.
Yeah, Golden State probably does that. Nope. Although the efforts of this man absolutely helped in that situation.
It's Curry off the screen, fakes, fires, stuck it! He just stuck it! Timeout!
That's Steph Curry. And you'll see him again for the fifth time in seven instances in the playoff postseason appearances. It'll be the Golden State Warriors which, I mean, poetically, that is nice, right? Like, fifth time in 11 seasons is what it comes out to. Mm-hmm. That this is a part of the path, and it feels like there's an opportunity, like I mentioned, for like, you know, some poetry here. If you want to view it this way, to exercise some demons from mm-hmm. years past, or just to, like, you know, put a dagger in a dynasty that feels like it might be coming to the end of its tenure.
How about just fun? You know, that,
sure.
That,
I mean, that, fun is good enough as is.
that's the narrative for me. This is going to be fun, and last night was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so let's really take it from that perspective. We still have plenty of days mm-hmm. to do a larger dive mm-hmm. into the series that starts on Easter Sunday, 9:30 at night, mind you. 9:30 at night.
I'm gonna have to take that B. Scott route of conditioning myself now.
You haven't already started, brother. You're going to be late. You're like the guy who's like, I'm going to run a marathon
next week.
And then two weeks. It's like, I feel like I should probably start training. No, it's too late, brother. You're going to be in hell. But with that being the case, like, what were your takeaways from this play-in game? Again, 713-572-4610.
So much to dig into. And just full disclosure, I was telling you guys this morning, watch the Astros, obviously. Boy, are we going to get to that. And then started watching this game, and I'm like, yeah, Memphis is probably going to make a run, but I'll catch up on the rest tomorrow morning. Boy, 5:30 this morning, got my coffee, turned on the TV, and I went, whoa.
now, do you check the score before you watch it?
No.
Okay, you're going blind.
I compare it to fresh fruit. Let me explain. If you buy fresh fruit on a Tuesday night, you can have it Wednesday morning, it's still fresh. Now, if you have it a week later, it's not as fresh. Or if you already know it's going rotten, it's not fresh. So it was like, I describe it to fresh fruit. It's still fresh to me.
as long as you don't know what's happening.
The only thing I knew was I made the mistake of reading y'all's texts, and I knew it got good. That's the only thing I knew, that it got good. because he yells.
Which I feel like that's probably the one thing that you do want to know in that moment.
Yeah.
Right? Because, I mean, it was a 20-point game at one point in favor of the Warriors.
And I went, yeah, they'll make a run, but I'll catch up in the morning.
Yeah, so, like, I can understand if you had came into that, like, all right, let me finish this up, but I don't know if it's going to get good again. I feel like that was probably enough to keep you going.
Figgy kind of ruined it for me. Figgy kind of ruined it for me.
Damn, Figgy.
We was live texting, man.
I know, but I wasn't looking at him.
Because he hasn't conditioned himself. That's why.
Because it was fresh fruit to me. But when he started talking about the Florida reference, I went, ooh, it must have gotten real good.
Yeah, what is Reggie Miller doing, dog? Like, first and foremost, that's generally.
It wasn't even close.
I'm just always out on Reggie Miller as.
He was irritating me, man.
So, Figgy, you really didn't ruin it for me, because when I saw it live to me, fresh fruit to me, you know? I was like, well, that's nothing like the Florida game.
you didn't have to take that swipe. Nobody needed to hear that in a situation where they don't get a shot off.
Back to where we started here, I'm watching it, and I'm not going to lie, man. You know, as much as it was fun, it was awesome to watch it this morning, the end of it and all that stuff, it was a little worrisome to me. You know, just
really,
it was a little worse. I went
a very different way than you on the larger, broad strokes.
Well, let me explain, because I started, obviously writing down some stuff, and I'm like, first thing I wrote down was playoff Jimmy.
Yeah, I was just saying that a moment ago. Like, in watching the game, I looked at the box score periodically because I try to have like that second screen in order to kind of keep some of that in my face. But I did not pay attention to the fact that he dropped 38 of them things. I realized that like this morning. I was like, wait, 38 points there.
He was attacking too.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and that was one of the things that was very evident is that Zach Edey, dog. Hey, man, that is problematic in that game where I feel like that's going to be that. Yeah. That is the effect of having a coach that is an interim that has not been in many of these circumstances and honestly has not been at the helm making the decisions for this team for a very long period of time. They had Zach Edey on Jimmy Butler, and I imagine the thought process was Jimmy Butler is a reluctant three-point shooter.
Yeah.
That has never been a huge part of his game. He'll take them from time to time, right, when you have to, but he's not – and even in this game, you saw multiple instances where he, with the 7'4" guy giving him space on the three-point line, he pump-faked, thought about it, passed the ball away, got the ball back, then shot a three.
Yeah.
But even then, I understand the idea is, okay, we can keep this big guy on the floor, guard this guy who's not going to take threes and it's not going to hurt us, except Zach Edey did not get to the right levels. Mm-hmm. He was too slow-footed, and Jimmy Butler was able to drive by him in a lot of circumstances. Like, that was really problematic, and it made me wonder, is there any circumstance under which, like, the size that the Rockets are wanting to employ at times can hurt them in the same way that the Zach Edey decision to play.
I want to get to that.
Hit him.
I want to get to that for sure, because the second thing that that I wrote down was, and I put it on the doc exactly how I wrote it down on my phone, late game Steph. And let me give you, I'm on an analogy kick right now, so let me give you another analogy.
All right, Seth Payne.
Years and years ago.
He is trying to be Seth.
Yeah. Years and years ago, Rice University football started out like 4-0. And then they went up to Ohio State. And I was sitting next to the Rice beat writer. And he goes, he looks at me, he goes, I think Rice has a chance today. And Ohio State was like 2-2 or whatever. And I looked at him and I said, bro, that's Ohio State. And Ohio State beat him by 30 points. So that's my point with Steph Curry. That's Steph Curry. I don't care about fading. I don't care about it's not the same team. End of a dynasty. That's Steph, brother.
Do you care about a thumb injury?
I don't think it's very serious.
You saw him grimacing, and there was a solid 7-minute stretch that spanned the late portions of the third quarter into the fourth quarter, where he did not get a bucket, and it wasn't just like the ball wasn't getting to him. It seemed very clear that he was in pain and he was trying to kind of limit that. Now, of course, yes, he does come back around.
Then what happened?
He's still going to be that nuclear bomb.
Three-pointer in the corner, that was huge.
Yeah.
Another three-pointer.
Especially if the game is close and stuff like that. Yeah, I think that.
So let me give you that analogy.
But that,
he didn't have the greatest shooting night, though.
Yeah, that's Steph.
Sure.
That's Steph Curry, guys.
No, agree. But I do wonder, does that mitigate this in a way that makes it more palatable, especially when – that he had that level of injury. Now, Steve Kerr did mention in his post game that winning this game, one of the things for them that rest. It does, yeah. they have 4 days off, and it mm-hmm. gives them an opportunity to rest, especially with an older team, with that all those things. Mm-hmm. And then at, you know, after 83 games, that they feel like they're back where they need to be. Mm-hmm. And obviously, the playoffs, you get those days off in between, especially the first 4 days when you can yeah. get sometimes 3 days or you know 3 days yeah. Or 2 days off in between. I mm-hmm. guess is the way that I wanted to put that between games. But I do wonder, like, if you have those a few moments where Steph isn't on his grind, yeah. this Rockets team is not that Memphis Grizzlies team. I think that there's I mean,
no,
they
I agree.
Can make this a lot tougher if Steph isn't up to 100%. And then also on top of that, I do wonder, are the Rockets going to navigate the kind of like movement offense? I kind of liken it, if I want to give an analogy mm-hmm. to like in soccer, how, you know, the Jogo Bonito or like the beautiful game mm-hmm. that you'll see teams play where they're just like moving the ball
well, that's
fluidly.
Right.
Like, are the Rockets better equipped to navigate those screens with all of the wing players, wing defenders, particularly with the men Thompson that they're able to, you know, throw at Steph and the likes of their perimeter players?
And that's why to answer your previous point about, you know, the bigs
yeah.
and the Rockets, that was the other thing. The other note I wrote down is the Warriors' ball movement was about as good as you could get in long stretches. I mean, they were using, you know, obviously the high pick and roll. You know, I saw a tweet at one point. Zach Edey is like Yao Ming if Yao Ming got tariffed.
Wow.
but
did Yao Ming get the ball stolen from him when he kept getting rebounds and bringing the ball down?
No, because he was better. But off ball screens, you know, everything, even that shot that with 1 minute and 50 seconds left that Steph made,
yeah.
the ball touched five hands. It touched Steph in the middle of it all. Then he went back to the corner. Then he knocked down the three. So it did make me think a little bit. Now, I have a world of confidence, as you know. I'm a big fan of Ime Udoka. But that's what they can do. You know, can they do that to Şengün is who I was thinking about. You know,
yeah.
can they isolate him all of a sudden?
And that's the interesting thing, because yeah. Şengün is probably the more slow-footed mm-hmm. of your defenders. Or even if you want to put out these big lineups, I'm interested to see how that works. Because, I mean, and then having all those guys like navigate the screens, and maybe more importantly, right, I think the Rockets sometimes are early – for a large stretch of the season, is the way I want to say this, mm-hmm. when they would decide to like trap a ball handler or what have you, like behind that, mm-hmm. the rotation behind that could get a little dicey at times. I feel like defensively they've gotten a little bit better about that, but because of the way that the Warriors move the ball, as you mentioned, they move it decisively and quickly. Mm-hmm. It does make me wonder, like, if you are not entirely in lockstep as a full five-man yes. defense, knowing, hey, this is what the rotation needs to look like behind this. I go here, you go there, in order to kind of get yourself back into a shape.
Mm-hmm.
They could take advantage of that.
That's what I'm saying.
But I think that they've been, you know, going back to this recent stretch, I think they've been playing a level of defense, and they've had a level of interconnectedness
yeah.
that probably allows this Rockets team to handle that well.
I do agree. I have confidence in what Ime Udoka can do, and I think Jabari might be a big factor in this series.
Why do you say that?
Just because he can do so many different things at different positions, you know, defensively, you know.
Okay.
I think he might be able to slide into some of those roles and into some of those plays a lot better.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to mm-hmm. see. I imagine that this actually might be a Terror Twins revival
Could
of
be.
sorts, because it feels like having, you know, switchable guys and having multiple guys that can kind of do some of those similar things would be really helpful.
Yeah.
When you talk about Tari, Dylan, and obviously Amen, mm-hmm. who is probably going to likely get to get the Steph Curry assignment as he did the last time when he held all of 3 points
yeah.
in that game. One of the things I did notice in this game, because Memphis, they had a couple of instances where they clawed back in this game. We mm-hmm. mentioned them getting down in big ways. I noticed that also those times where they were clawing back, obviously Steph is a great player. When he's not there on the floor, they were able to claw back. But I don't think that was just not Steph being there. I think it was the change of pace.
Yes.
With Jimmy Butler at the helm, Jimmy mm-hmm. Butler is a lot more methodical. He mm-hmm. takes his time in trying to decide what he's doing. I do wonder if that's also another place where the Rockets, a team that admittedly offensively is not of the same caliber as some of these other teams mm-hmm. in the playoffs. Like they require, you know, multiple looks in a possession and those types of things. If you have, you know, less of those supernova, you know, runs
mm-hmm.
when Jimmy Butler is on the floor and slowing down the offense and having a more methodical plotting offense, can that be a boon for the Rockets where they have
Absolutely.
Opportunities to, you know, to have stretches of you know, runs because the Warriors are slowing this thing down?
But the that's what makes
Jimmy's
it so,
at the helm.
That's what makes it so much fun to me, because the Warriors, and I was looking at the stats over the last 15 games, like, their transition offense has been off the charts, but the Rockets have transition defense, you know, and so that's going to be able to be big. And then the other thing that I wrote down is I don't know. I don't know if it's Warriors magic or luck or whatever. But that last play, that wasn't a 5 second. That wasn't a 5 second violation.
And it didn't look like it.
It wasn't.
It wasn't, but I think that that speaks to, in some ways, experience versus inexperience and how it shows up in postseason basketball. I was listening to Steve Jones Jr., used to be a coach in the NBA, video assistant, all those types of things, breaking down that final 5 seconds call. And one of the things he noted, even though, yeah, it was, you're right, it was a it was a fast 5 seconds. When you get the ball to inbound onto that play, your action probably needs to start immediately so you get the maximum opportunity in that 5 seconds.
You know, we used to say as he's handing the ball,
you need to be
the
moving.
Player, you need to start your movement.
And it felt like they had they were half a beat slow compared to the Warriors, where they did things like Gary Payton the second was holding on to Ja Morant in a way that you know they're not going to call, but you have that physicality, that veteran savvy. Yeah. I think those are the things that differentiated the Warriors between the Memphis Grizzlies, and I do wonder how much of that is going to show up, if at all, in the difference between the Warriors and the Rockets.
And let's hear that final call, because there's a word in there that I just love and is used far too infrequently.
To get it back. And he gets it out to Morant.
5 seconds.
5 second violation. They could not inbound.
5 seconds.
Oh, my goodness. Calamity.
Calamity.
Don't even get a look at it. Very reminiscent of that Florida Houston game.
No, it's not, Reggie. And don't sound so excited about it, dog.
What did that have to do with
nothing?
He just wanted to be a jerk.
Nothing. Nothing at all. It was 4.5. I was doing the arm thing that the referees did like 2 or 3 times.
And usually
when I folded it back at 4.5 is when they called it.
Usually like, they let that roll with a little bit of
a little extra.
Yeah. I'm excited for what the series holds. But in bringing up that 5 seconds, one of the things it did make me think of, it's a bad start of the postseason for officiating. Now, it's a play-in game. I don't know if that's kind of slotted differently, because typically in order to officiate postseason games, it's the best of the regular season. Yeah. I was like, that's not a great start for postseason officiating, so hopefully we don't see like more bad postseason officiating, because the Rockets have had enough of that, especially in series
with
the Warriors. So like, you don't need any of that in this series. But yeah, I looked at both of these teams. They're very vulnerable, as you would expect of a 7-8 matchup, and I feel like the Rockets are probably very well positioned to handle up this series that they have against the Warriors. We'll talk more about that as we continue on through the week. I think we might even talk to some people about it as well. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk about the Astros, who played yesterday in St. Louis. Got a win, in fact, 2-0. Still a lot of questions about this team, but I feel like there's one place where we can absolutely put questions away. Let's talk about that next.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Atula, Figgy Fig, hanging out with you on a Wednesday. In fact, how many days is it till draft day?
8.
That is correct.
That's right.
I was hoping I could catch him off guard. But
I thought you were going to say Easter.
How many days till Easter?
3, isn't it? No, 4. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it crazy Easter is on 4/20?
Brother, I was going to bring it up.
Oh, wow.
Imagine if
the Lord is always high.
He is on high.
There's going to be a lot of dudes going to get some more ice.
Go ahead.
No, but I'll get some ice.
It's perfect, right? You get out of, you go to church.
We praise them high.
You get I don't know, Easter dinner, if y'all have it in the same. I mean, we basically, it's Easter lunch at that
point. Yeah, we do lunch.
And you go for a walk.
Go for a walk.
Come back, watch the Rockets.
Y'all look like you're a little low on ice. I'll go get some.
That's right.
Me and my buddy.
I feel like you can, there's no reason that you can't hit all of the bases on Sunday, right? Like, I feel like, and then of course the Rockets happens later on in the day, very late in the day, 9:30 p.m. to be exact.
I'm gonna start my training now.
I feel like bets on when he falls asleep.
No, I'll watch that. I'll just be miserable.
Man, game one.
You're going to be asleep. You're going to wake up in the morning to watch it like you did today.
This game was like, so important. But I'll stay up for the Rockets, man. Playoff, you kidding me?
Third quarter. Yeah, third quarter.
I watched the rest.
It's
of the
at least morning. A nap. It's no. a he's falling asleep for at least 4 minutes in the third quarter.
I'm just saying I'm gonna be miserable Monday. So prepare yourselves.
Okay. All right. That is a tease of sorts. All right. Let's get to this Astros game. They got a win yesterday versus the St. Louis Cardinals, 2-0. Nice to get a victory. Shout out to Jeremy Peña getting aggressive on the base paths in this one.
Running through a stop sign.
Did you have issue with the third base coach putting up the stop sign there?
I thought you were going to say with Jeremy Peña, he had a good feel for where he was going.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, how that play was unfolding. So I had no issue with that really at all.
Thank you, Collis. That was I thought it was a good call.
Oh boy!
And honestly, like
is that blue ball that he was talking about?
No, I'm so disappointed.
Yeah.
No, but I'm surprised that they don't have more of those types of aggressive natures on the base paths, especially considering where the offense has been, or like the lack of fortune that the offense has at least had at the plate. Even if you're getting hard hit balls, if they're not finding the ground,
right?
Like, hey, when you get that opportunity, when you see, although it was a really good trap in right field, but when you see that ball hit the grass, man, go ahead and go.
You know, it's interesting too, because the Cardinals, and I forget who it was, they held up a runner when I thought he should maybe run through the stop sign in the previous
inning.
That
was on Cam Smith too.
It was on Cam Smith.
Yeah.
I thought that because he threw the ball up the line a little bit, the guy would have scored. I forget who the runner was, but he did stop.
Yeah,
you know, he didn't run through this, and so there's like a swing of runs right there.
Yeah, but obviously, like, there's a lot of things we talk about the offense. There's questions with that. You have questions elsewhere. There's one thing that it feels like yesterday was very evident that you don't have questions with this Astros team, and his name is Hunter Brown.
He's the guy, right? I mean, there's no more question about that. Four starts.
He's the ace.
No, he is.
Four starts,
1.25 ERA.
Is it 1.25 at this point?
1.25, according to what I saw, 0.83 whip and a 17-inning scoreless streak. That's how you do it. I mean, that's – and here's the thing. I'm not necessarily criticizing Fromber. Fromber can still do those things. But the most consistent pitcher, the best start – and I'm going to give you a little historical context here in a little bit. With Hunter Brown's start, but like Fromber can still do it. Fromber can still get it done and still show ace stuff. But Hunter Brown is the ace. He's the guy you want out there.
So if the playoffs started now, you going with Hunter Brown?
Why would you not?
Well, yeah, I mean, Fromber absolutely can still do incredible things. But I think the consistency that Hunter Brown is starting to show, which is wild to consider for a 26-year-old pitcher, right, in his age 26 season. A dude doing that, and really the thing that has been impressive to me is just the coolness, the calmness that he has displayed on the mound, even when like maybe he doesn't get a call that's good, or maybe you know you have a solo shot or what have you. He's able to lock it right back in and continue getting after folks. I mean, he got in a little bit of trouble early in this one, got some runners on the base paths, and still managed to get out of it, striking dudes out. In fact,
well, really, he only had four strikeouts, I believe, but that power sinker was getting bad contact and was getting people out. Shout out to Alex Bregman, because that's the pitch that Bregman told him last year he needs to throw more often, and now it's one of the most dangerous pitches in the game.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? And he's utilizing it more against lefties as well. Mm-hmm. Like he's continuing to grow. I think ultimately the way that I would put this is with the level that we're seeing him at right now feels like it's closer to what the floor is than what the ceiling is.
Yes.
And that's the thing that I think is even more impressive for me is that, hey man, he's pitching really well. And that probably sounds wild to say with a dude who has a 1.5, I just double checked.
1.5
ERA. Even then, like sub 2, you're cooking with grease, right? Like you're cooking with gas, I guess is the more traditional way of saying that phrase. But ultimately, like, that's kind of sounds wild to say, but I think the way that he's going about it, the level-headedness, like he does not have that concern. At least I don't feel like it, that you have that concern of what's going to happen if this bad thing happens to him. He's going to come out and he's going to produce, and he's starting to become the must-watch portion on this Astros team that, if I'm going to be completely honest, it feels like it has fewer must-watch things than it has had in recent history.
But that's the difference between he and Fromber. You know, over the years, you know, when we get frustrated with Fromber, it's because things can get in his head. You know, he lets things affect him emotionally or mentally. Hunter Brown does not. And that's why Hunter Brown is the guy that you trot out there, in those types of situations. Now, let me give you some context here to just how good a start this is for Hunter Brown. We just went over his stats and the scoreless innings and all that stuff. 1.5 ERA, 0.83 WHIP. Let's compare it to some of the greatest four-game starts that we've seen in recent years.
Ooh.
With some of the greats here. Gerrit Cole in 2019, incredible year. Through his first four starts, 3.2 ERA and a 0.92 WHIP. Not as good as what Hunter Brown is doing.
Okay.
Justin Verlander won the Cy Young in 2019. First four starts, 3.5 ERA, 1.174 WHIP. Not as good as what Hunter Brown's done so far. Fromber in 2022, when he had his career high in wins, 3.15 ERA, 1.4 WHIP. Not as good as what Hunter Brown's done through four starts. And let's go back to 2015, their first playoff run. Dallas Keuchel, Cy Young. Cy Young.
Yes.
Through his first four starts, 0.62 ERA. You're not going to touch that. But a 0.82 WHIP, which is not as good as Hunter Brown. What he's done his first four starts is as good or better in most cases than the best seasons as Astros that Justin Verlander, Gerrit Cole, Fromber, and Dallas Keuchel have had.
You got to, I mean, it's.
Think about that.
We're a tenth of the way through the season,
yeah.
Right? There's a lot of baseball to go. It's early, marathon, not a sprint, all that.
Mm-hmm.
Cy Young feels like this is not entirely out of the realm of possibility.
Well, obviously very, very early, as you mentioned. But, I mean, just look at those numbers. Those, like, two of those guys won Cy Youngs, and I think Gerrit Cole finished, like, second or third in 2019. And their starts were not as good as what we've seen from Hunter Brown. He's your ace. And let's be very clear about this. It's not a criticism per se of Fromber, because if you have two guys that can dial up a game like that, and Fromber can, in a win, you're way ahead of the game.
Sure. Yeah. And I think, okay, so where my brain has gone is kind of a weird place, especially after what you said, because absolutely, if you have good Fromber and you have Hunter Brown going, that 1-2 punch is huge. When,
yes.
When you get into a postseason series, if you can go 1-2 with guys that you feel confident, mm-hmm. either, you know, we can write the W in pencil, or we can feel very confident that at least we have a really solid chance of winning the game, that's a great place to be. Like, you already yeah. are starting with the level of advantage. However, considering the situation where we know that there has not been extension talks with Fromber, if you can get some
mm-hmm.
reinforcements coming back when it comes to injury-wise, remembering that Lance McCullers is going yeah. to have his, fourth rehab start,
I think, yeah.
Coming up soon. Obviously, you have Christian Javier, hopefully expected to come back maybe mid-season, some of those types of guys. Could you possibly see the possibility of trading Fromber at the deadline?
It depends on where they are. It absolutely depends on where they are. You write it out. I mean, and traditionally the Astros have. They've played it out without. We talked about, Kyle Tucker trades last trade deadline, and that didn't happen. So traditionally they write it out. Depends on where you are, but you get these two guys that can in a very winnable division, as we talked about. It affects how you can use your bullpen. The strain on your bullpen, how you can use some of these back end rotation guys as you go down. Keep it up, Hunter Brown, because it's going to make things a lot better for the Astros.
Ultimately, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm very much in a place where Hunter Brown is on the docket. Yeah, I'm absolutely tuning in to see him pitch. He has definitely reached that level for me. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Early getaway game in St. Louis today. You'll get Ronel Blanco. And Yordan Alvarez is sitting down. He's getting the day off after playing the field yesterday and with a short turnaround. We'll give you the lineup later on in the show. But all right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to our question of the day. Inspired by now the fact that we know what the matchup is going to be. It's Rockets, mm-hmm. Warriors. Mind you, I said game one, 9:30 Eastern, 8:30. So a little bit better for you, Lopez. Maybe that'll help you stay up. No, he's still falling asleep. What are some guy code rules that you should never be broken? Like, I don't know, kicking Steven Adams in the junk. That's one of those that you shouldn't break. 713-572-4610. Guy code rules that should never be broken. Next. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Let's get into our question of the day on this Wednesday. We know who the opponent is for your Rockets. It's the Golden State Warriors, complete with Draymond Green and all his shenanigans, including the shenanigans where he kicked Steven Adams in the manhood multiple times, mind you.
At least twice, maybe more.
Serial manhood kicker.
You just don't do that. I don't care. you know, guys know better.
You shouldn't.
Says who?
You shouldn't.
Guy code.
That's right. And so with that being the case, 713-572-4610 is the number to text. What are the guy code rules that should never be broken?
Look, man, just back on that, you know, Stephen Adams was asked about it, and it's just not something you do. This was Stephen Adams talking about Draymond Green kicking him.
If I were to say mate, I mean, I've studied the way he plays, but I wouldn't say we're mates.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, he did kick you in the nuts.
Yeah. Some mates do that, though. Back home, you know, as a high school, I don't know, handshake or something. Yeah.
Some mates do that?
Well, that would be one of my guy code rules. Maybe not a universal
cup
but,
check or
hey,
whatever.
Dog,
yeah,
I'm not. Don't play with my man.
I never like playing like that, man.
Ever, ever.
People
never.
Used to try to play with me like that. Mm. I was never that type of person.
Exactly.
I'm like, what is wrong with y'all?
But there are certain things that guys just don't do. I mentioned the barbecue thing earlier with Sean and Seth. Like, I don't do it. Nobody should do it. You go hang out with the guy who's cooking, have a beer. You're holding your beer. Chatting it up, but you never say, hey, I mean, you probably want to flip that now, or did you reverse sear that? You don't mess with a guy's grill.
You literally let him cook.
You let him cook, literally. A couple others that popped in, 713-572-4610. I'm interested in yours and Figgy's, like your guy code rules, so to speak. If your friend's wife or girlfriend starts asking you questions, you do everything you can to avoid answering.
Okay, so you're not in the place where you lie for him.
No, but you just like, well, you know, I'm not sure. And blah,
plead
blah,
the fifth.
Yeah, hey, where'd y'all end up going last night? You know, I can't even remember now. You know, something like, you just don't. That's somebody else's business. That is somebody else's business. And the other one I thought of.
I think my friends know not to have me try and lie for them. I'm sorry.
But you can avoid it, is what I'm
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, I was like, that's what I got for you is avoidance. And even then, sometimes if you deserved it, man, I'm like,
right.
Hey, dog.
Here's the other thing. You go into a bathroom and there's five urinals. That means there's space for three guys. You don't stand right next to a guy if there's an open urinal.
I always, like, if it can be avoided, sure.
Yeah.
We get to these events or like to these like sporting events.
Yeah, yeah,
hey,
yeah.
Dog, I'm stepping in.
First come, first serve.
That's different. That's different.
Yeah, you try and space it out as much as possible, and then when you need to, you can step into that. I think the secondary portion of that is just don't be looking.
Of course.
That's really the bigger portion of this. No matter where you are, don't be out here.
When have you ever looked?
Do we need to say that?
Yeah, when have you ever looked?
Which actually goes to the guy code that me and my friends had, because I had a nice little stretch of time where with some really close friends in college and afterwards, where I was roommates with probably a group of maybe four or five guys at various different times.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were, you know, really good friends. And I think it might have been the only like real rule that we established. Obviously, there's kind of pseudo rules that you have, but the real rule we established up front, that we said we got together, we looked at each other in the eye, and we're like, all right, one thing I want to do, I don't never want to see your manhood.
Oh yeah, okay.
And so like really the undercurrent of that is like, hey, be respectful. If you in the public areas, how about don't have your manhood out, right? Like how about you wear some shorts or something? And thankfully, amongst my friend group, nobody's seen each other's manhood.
Yeah, and like if you're in a locker room, obviously it's different. You know, you're just going to. But don't talk to someone else without a towel on. You know what I mean?
Like,
yeah.
Just try and avoid airing it out in that way.
Like, you're going to see him coming in and out of the shower or whatever, but don't just like, hey, Figgy, I was going to ask you, and you're standing there naked.
Yeah. You know? my thing is, like, I mean, we all got to get naked at some point.
Yeah. Sure.
Hey, get over with, man. Yeah. Like, do what you got to do, get dressed, and then we can have this conversation.
Exactly. Or at least put a towel on. Last one that came to mind for me, never, ever, ever, ever bring beer to someone's house or party or whatever, expecting to take any home with you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's there.
That's if tough. You bring something, it's be ready there. To leave it. It's 100%.
Yeah. 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 The only thing I will take is like a pan or something. If it's like
of course.
Some type of pan that I need or something like that. Everything else is yours.
You got any?
The only ones that come to my mind is like me, and I mentioned this like a week ago. You can't talk to somebody else's ex, man. Like on a serious note, like to me, that could be something for me personally. Like I would never do that, man. I leave that alone. Once you talk to my boy, that's you right there, man.
Yeah.
Like I can't do it. I don't care how it ended or
what about asking permission.
See, I don't even want to get to that point, see, man.
No, I think you could. I think you could. Hey,
I
man.
Mean, that's polite to do
yeah.
it. But I don't even want to go down that road, man. There's other fish in the sea, man.
This one got the people going when you mentioned this last week. And I feel like this is one of those ones that I think is relatively well the cause of a lot of issues, right?
100%. Mm-hmm. I think it make it worse. I think it's worse when you don't say something because it's looking like you're hiding something.
Certainly.
Oh, for sure.
So, yeah, I think it's better to, you know, ask for permission.
Mm-hmm.
And but just me personally, I'm just like, man, nah, y'all done had a thing. we done all hung
there's
out
one
together.
Off the list. There's one that's off the list.
What one of the things though, I do appreciate these circumstances in sports because it gives you like really fun circumstances. Mm-hmm. Was it Brandon Ingram recently that hit a game winning shot? And was talking saying baby was, mama.
Oh Lord!
And I'm like, there's very.
It's a lot of that going on, but that's just the me thing, man.
All right, do you subscribe to this one that came in from our guy Marcus, our long range drive?